This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Devin McCourty will win an award this fall, but it's not another Pro Bowl nod or another Super Bowl ring as a New England Patriot. McCourty retired from football this past year, and this award recognizes his longtime commitment to service off the field. He's with us on the line to talk about it. Devin McCourty, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here today.
It's great to have you. So you're going to be receiving the Embracing the Legacy Award from the Robert F. Kennedy Community Alliance. This fall, it's for your work to help free a man who was 28 years into a life sentence in prison. So tell us a little bit about William Allen and how you first got involved in advocacy for him.
Yeah, it all came kind of fast. You know, in 2020, obviously, we were playing a season through COVID. That was tough. But I think bigger, me and my family was going through something. We had a stillborn, our third child. And I had a friend of mine, Rasan Hall, reach out and ask me if I would get involved. And at first, I kind of put it on pause just because everything I was dealing with. But that following April, I got to, you know, Zoom with William Allen and talk to him. And his heart, his passion for helping kids, it just beamed through the computer, and I was just very fortunate to get to know him and see how he lived and see what he was going through. So getting to know him over that, you know, hour or so we were on really enticed me and said, you know what, I want to get involved and see how I can help out.
So first, I'm really sorry about your loss. I just want to say that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And Rasan Hall at the time would have been with the ACLU. And just a little more for our listeners. So William Allen was convicted in 1994 of the murder of Purvis Bester in Brockton. He and another man took part in a robbery, but it was the accomplice who fatally stabbed Bester. And under as the law exists now, since 2017, Allen would not have been sentenced to life in prison. The Supreme Judicial Court here in Massachusetts changed the law. So you then wanted to have Governor Baker commute his sentence, and that's how you got involved, correct?
Yeah, it was a process that I really wasn't familiar with. And that law you're speaking of is joint venture felony, where William really didn't understand that at the time. So he decided to go to trial. And, you know, obviously he was involved in the robbery, so he got convicted to life without parole. So after spending 27 years in prison before I got involved, you know, just seeing how long he was in prison and his countermate, you know, only did 11 years in prison, I just knew I needed to get involved in the whole commutation kind of process with kind of urging Governor Baker to listen and to call to action. We wrote letters to the state office to him. The team got involved, Mr. Kraft, the Patriots, Coach Belichick. So it really bonded us together as a team to do something outside of football that really helped and change a man's life.
So Mr. Kraft being Robert Kraft, and there were a number of other teammates that you got involved. And that was, as I understand it, really important to you to show other teammates how they could use their power and influence to affect somebody's life. And you even at one point invited William Allen once, and to note, former Governor Baker did commute his sentence. You invited William Allen to a practice so that people could meet the man whose life they had helped change, because that kind of encounter was important to you.
Yes, you talk about a full circle moment. I dated back to that conversation I told you about of, you know, being on a Zoom call, and only thing that popped up, you know, our names come up when we do Zooms, and his name wasn't there, it was just a number. And to meet him that way and only see a number is how he was identified to, you know, a little bit over a year later, he's from Brockton, Massachusetts, never been to Gillette Stadium, let alone inside the facility in Gillette Stadium, standing in front of his childhood favorite team and talking to the team and giving the team a message. Then walking through the building, coming out to practice, the smile on his face, because he never, I don't think he ever could have imagined being in that location. He imagined being free, that's for sure, but never on the Patriots, you know, property and their premises, getting to know and shake Coach Belichick's hand and Mac Jones. Like, he always used to tell me about Mac and how good Mac was and people need to lay off him. And then he was in that moment. I know for me, I had to take a step back and just take it all in. And I tell people all the time, it's one of the greatest team wins I had ever been a part of, because it wasn't me. You know, my name helped a little bit being on the Patriots, getting the Patriots involved. But it was so many other great people who were already doing this work. And I just got to listen to their story, listen to their journey, and help out. And, you know, I think because so many people decided to come together and didn't care about credit, we're able to see a man realize what freedom felt like. And it was an unbelievable accomplishment.
And Devin McCourty, are you still in touch at all with William Allen? Have you spoken with him any time recently?
Yep, we talk periodically here and there. He's a busy man back at work, and so many different things going on in his life, talking to different places. We were supposed to get together when he was supposed to have a talk at Northeastern, but it didn't happen. It was weather thing. So, yeah, we keep in contact talking. I think even bigger than that, he's found friends, a friend of mine, Robin Glazer, who is legal counsel for the team. He's good friends with her. So he's continued to create and make new friends, and then obviously put together some of our relationships he had prior to being incarcerated.
We're speaking with Devin McCourty here on Radio Boston. He's a former New England Patriot player, captain, receiving an award this fall for public service. And there it is, right? I have to tell you, I have wanted to talk to you for a long time. And the reason is I feel like, you know, as sort of a person in the community, I know you more from the outside as somebody in public service than I do as a football player. And for a long time, I've wanted to talk to you to understand where that comes from for you. And so I think my first question in that is, in your mind, first and foremost, who are you? Are you a football player? Are you a dad? Are you a man of the community? Are you a son, a father? I mean, who are you for you?
I think first of all, I'm a man of God. You know, I think that was something that's always been big in my life, my faith. And I think because of that, you know, if somebody asked me, you know, who are you? I would first tell them I'm a husband, a father, and a son, like you just mentioned. I think, you know, I was very fortunate to play alongside of Matthew Slater for 13 years, who was a great mentor and big brother for me. And I remember as we were out in the community doing a lot of different things and working with different people, he said to someone, he said, my first commitment is to be a dad. And he said, be a dad and a husband. He said, if I can't make sure my family and what goes on in my household is running on the right path and know my kids are doing the right things, how could I ever help out and be in the community? And I really took that to heart. So, you know, I think that's the first and foremost of who I am. And I think why I do so much work in the community is my upbringing. You know, I grew up with just, you know, I have an older brother and my twin brother, Jason, obviously, who spent 3 years in New England as well. And we watched our mom sacrifice so much for us to have, you know, different things in life, the opportunities that we had. And I watched a village, so many different people in my community come together to help out. My mom was the mom who, you know, our station wagon would be packed on the way to football practice or picking up different kids from school after basketball practice. Like, we just had so many that go on that I think that is the key to kids having a success. And I think so many kids go through different traumas in their life and they just need somebody to reach out and to help. And I've just wanted to be that person because I've always felt, you know, it wasn't about me just playing football. I was never the best player on any team I was ever on. It was just me being a hardworking guy who, because of other people, I had different opportunities and I wanted to grant those opportunities to other people.
So your twin brother, Jason, also not just, you know, a few years in New England, but for people who might not understand what you mean, as a New England Patriot, you both grew up playing football. You played at Rutgers together. You both went on to be professional football players. In listening to you, I found myself wanting to ask two questions, right? The first is, have there been specific moments in your life that have sort of shaped or changed what you focused on in how you serve? The issues, like, you know, William Allen, it was a very specific issue you chose to take on, a person who was serving life in prison for participating in a robbery, yes, but for murder, was not the person who committed the actual murder. That's not hunger. That's not tree planting, right? It's a very specific focus. Are there moments in your life that have determined who you choose to serve and the subjects you choose to engage in?
Yeah, it was 2016, playing on the Patriots, and Obviously, that was a very heated climate and a political kind of atmosphere of, you know, Trump and Hillary Clinton running for president. There was just so many different things going on. And I remember in that time period of just as a team, we always talked about we're focused on football. That's what we talk about publicly. That's what we're doing. And there was just so many things coming out of our building. Obviously, Mr. Kraft, Robert Kraft, our team owner had, you know, a previous relationship with Trump. And then, you know, I remember Brady had the Make America Great hat in his locker. And then eventually, you know, Coach Belichick wrote a letter to Trump as a friend. And I just remember sitting there and it just felt like as a player, it didn't matter our beliefs, what we stood for, our backgrounds. We just got all lumped into one. And I remember in that moment, I thought it was very important for us as players to identify what we believed in. I thought it was an important time, you know, in the climate of what was going on in our country to kind of stand up for what you believe in. And I think from there, I moved in different directions. The Players Coalition was established, which was a bunch of players throughout the NFL. Started with probably around 100 players in the NFL, and now it has progressed to all different professional leagues. But we came together and said, we want to assemble and have strength in numbers to go out there and do different things. And in early 2017, we had a listen and learn tour where Rahsaan Hall, who we previously talked about, was at the ACLU, but there were so many different people, public defenders, judges, grassroots organization leaders, came together to just teach us some of the struggles and different things that went on for Black and brown folks in the state of Massachusetts. And from there on out, I was full speed ahead, getting involved in criminal justice reform, education, economics, just helping different families try to gain, you know, generational wealth. So I think from there, I got more involved and that pushed me in many of the different directions that I pursued throughout, I would say, the back end of my career.
What you just said is really important, Devin McCourty. And we're speaking with Devin McCourty, who retired from the New England Patriots in March of 2023, is receiving a public service award this fall here in the area. That is really important. So you were captain of the New England Patriots since 2011. You're talking about 2016, when the sort of incredibly famous quarterback of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, the coach of the New England Patriots, are supporting Donald Trump. You're coming forward in a different direction, and this is in a locker room and a team where the culture is stay focused on the game and do your job. And you push in a different direction as a leader in that team. What were those conversations like there? And, you know, did that build a culture of respect between you and you know, the leaders who were on another side? Was that generative or combative? I mean, that is a leadership choice you made as an athlete and a man.
Yeah, I think the locker room is such a unique place. I think if we could take the locker room and spread it throughout our country, I really do. I believe the country would be a better place because it didn't take those moments to garner anyone's respect. We all have so much respect for each other because we see each other come in, whether it's through, you know, great trials and triumphs personally in your family, deaths, you know, hard times, having babies, you know, figuring out your new way. We come in with all of that baggage every single day, traumas from our past, like all of that comes into the locker room and we put our arms around each other and we figure out how to go win football games while also in our spare time, how to solve each other's problems. Like it is just so therapeutic to be in that locker room. It's one of the things I'm going to miss most about being in the NFL because I don't think there's any other place where you have a group of usually alpha males come together and show vulnerability, show weaknesses, and figure out how to help each other. So I think in that moment, because we respected each other, no one ever had a problem. And I tell people all the time, the significant part about all of that is as we're all doing different things and, you know, a bunch of us as players are out and we're speaking, you know, about things that we're passionate about. 2016, we won a Super Bowl. 2017, we made it back to the Super Bowl. And then in 2018, we made it back to the Super Bowl again and won. So for 3 years, in the middle of all of this thing, all of these things going on, which a lot of other people would call chaos, we went to 3 straight Super Bowls and won 2 out of 3. So, I mean, the only argument people can make is, man, maybe they could have won 3, which I'll gladly take that on. But I thought that was, and that's what I preached to so many people after, that players can do multiple things. You can pursue different passions outside of football and still go out there and compete and play at a high level and win championships. And I thought that's what we did in New England for that time period. We showed that we could be more than just a football team and more than just football players.
So I want you to take me back to your kitchen now, because early in this conversation, when I asked you who you are, you started with man of God, father, son, and that it all has to be right at home first. I feel like I just learned a lot about how you think of yourself as a leader and a man and a person on the field and in your work. So what does it mean to be right at home? Tell me about being a dad.
Oh, it's awesome. You know, my father passed away when I was about 3 years old. So I tell people all the time, I didn't know it, but subconsciously, the only thing I ever wanted to do was be a dad. And my wife will tell you, we had our first kid in March of 2017, and I would wake up at 3 a.m. and let her go back to sleep, and I would be on dad duty from 3 a.m. to about 6 or 7 a.m. when she had to eat again. And that was something that I had no problem doing. I actually took pleasure in doing it because it was something that I knew from the time I could actually remember. I didn't have that. I didn't have a father. And that's why, you know, even retiring was a moment of, all right, I've gotten to play for 13 years. It's time to put my kids to the forefront and me slide, you know, and change my schedule up a little bit to revolve around them. Now, I'm still pretty busy, but I get to do, you know, school drop off, school pickup. I get to do all those things. And for me, it's those simple things. It's the day in and day out time I get to spend with my kids, because it's what I missed out the most growing up. So my kids know I'm very strict when it comes to discipline, but I love them. And, you know, I take them with me to do different things. That's not always easy. They're usually in the back of all my Zoom calls when I have to do them, because I love being home. I love being around them, because I do. I feel like it's the most important role I have in this life, is to shape them and help them and give them everything I have. So that's just what I try to do, I would say, daily.
Are you ready, though, for that moment where they don't care about the 3 Super Bowl rings on your fingers? You're just the embarrassing dad because they're at that age.
Well, I already have seen, you know, over these last few years where the season hasn't gone ideal to what we would like. I come home after tough losses and they'll tell me right away, man, that was bad. Like, you got lost. And they laugh about it. They don't care. But it also has made playing in a season a lot easier, because I can't sulk about those things because they only care about dad being home.
All right. There is one more thing that I want to talk about, Devin McCourty. And on its face, it's about football, but underneath, it's not. It's even more important to me to talk about it now, understanding how you were present in a different way in the locker room than I even did before we started talking now. I'm sure you know that during the Patriots preseason game this weekend, Isaiah Bolden, right? He's a rookie defensive back. He's a former Jackson State University student, the only HBCU football player to be drafted this year. He goes down on the field with what appears to be a serious head injury. Initially, he's immobile. He's non-responsive on the field. I want listeners to know he came, you know, he seems to be okay. He's out of the hospital. He was able to travel with the team. But what is interesting and notable is Patriots coach Bill Belichick chose to stop the game, which a decade ago would have been unheard of. Now, I'm actually going to play a little Matthew Slater sound because you referenced him as a mentor to you. And here he is praising that decision.
When you have an injury like that, you know, it affects a lot of guys in a lot of different ways. And clearly our team was shaken by what happened. And I think Coach made the right decision. I think that was tremendous leadership by him. And I have to say, honestly, that was one of the proudest moments I've had as a guy who's played for him for now 16 years.
Now, that sound is from WBZ. You now have a career in some broadcasting. I know you and your twin brother, Jason, were actually also broadcasting for that game, so you're very aware. That is a huge change, and I really want to hear you reflect for a minute on that.
Yeah, first I would just say that was a tough moment watching. Like you said, we were doing our twin cast broadcast, and we were on air when he went down, and that whole moment, I think, you know, we'd be remiss not to bring up DeMar Hamlin's situation, the safety in Buffalo last year, who, Buffalo versus Cincinnati Monday night game, was down on the field, and, you know, they had to kind of revive him. A lot of different things went on in that situation. But I think that was an eye-opener for a lot of people in football of how serious and how physical and how dangerous the game of football is. And, you know, I think watching that has really – you know, brought everybody's safety to a whole nother level. And I thought Coach Belichick, I think that's all fresh in his mind. I think he's sitting there like it's a preseason game. We all just watched a guy, you know, for the Patriot players, a guy that they're rooting for, a guy that's coming as a rookie, worked his butt off. He's out here trying to live out his dream. We just watched this guy just kind of be, it seemed to be where he was just out of it. And I will say this, when it comes to Coach Belichick, he doesn't get enough credit for the character he has and the respect he has for the men who dress up and decide to go out there and play football. And during COVID, you know, as you know, the league was coming out with different mandates and different things were going on. We had, which he assembled, we had a COVID council of players with him on it, with different people from a health standpoint, where we talked about the different things and we didn't care. And he said that, I don't care, you know, what the rules are, what this is. I care about the safety of this football team. I care about the safety of the men and women in this building because that's my responsibility. And I remember as we were going through all the COVID stuff and we were about to play against Denver, we had talks of not playing in the game. If that's what was going to keep our team safe and healthy, about forfeiting a game in the National Football League for the second most winningest coach of all time, talking about forfeiting a game. And people don't give him credit for that because of how much winning he's done, because of how demanding he is as a coach, because he understands what it takes to win. But there is another side of him, which he has shown through my 13 years. And I think Slater said it best. You got to see that and spotlight it, you know, last Saturday night when he went to Matt LaFleur, the Green Bay head coach, and said, hey, how about we end this game and we all walk away feeling good about this game where we are, where we landed.
All right. Three-time Super Bowl champion Devin McCourty with the New England Patriots, now receiving Embracing the Legacy Award from the Robert F. Kennedy Community Alliance in this November. A person of service, it's been great to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us on Radio Boston.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.